these gatherings, the objective of these gatherings. Regularly this humble servant discusses and mentions that our maqsad, our objective is coming here, gathering together, sitting, whichever masjid the gathering takes place in, wherever Allah Ta'ala gathers us and allows us to enter and sit down in a majlis, the maqsad, the objective is just one, and that is Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the objective. So, for this reason, in these majalis, in these gatherings, our discussion, our speaking, the basis or the reason for it, the objective is this, that one. And we come away from other points. We discuss mostly on this subject with regards to Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. How can we please Allah? How can we reach to the destination so that we become successful, so that we are successful? And it's obvious you brethren are coming here, or you come here for this reason. And the reason why we come together and we sit down is to perform the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance is a very good way and nice way to please Allah and to get close to Allah. But as I have said in previous times as well, that Allah Ta'ala has given us many routes and paths and ways to reach to His nearness and closeness. And alhamdulillah, our pious predecessors continue to strive and make effort to get close to Allah's nearness, to get close to Allah. And whatever they saw was beneficial, they practiced that, and they made sure that that was communicated to us. So in these majalis, the amal we discussed in the light of the Quran and the hadith, we do this so that somehow we can attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness and Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And I'm hopeful all my colleagues and friends will inshallah make effort, and you come here for this reason, to attain this objective. So this ajiz, this humble servant, doesn't know how to give a bayan or to give a speech or a lecture, and this is not the reason for talking. Rather, the broken words and phrases that come out, you should think about them and listen in this way and in this angle. Don't think I'm going to give some high-tech bayan or some technical lecture or commentary of Quran or tafsir of hadith. This is not the situation. Here we discuss and share those words we heard from our pious predecessors. How do we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes there are minor points, but we understand. A person could start to cry when he hears these things. Allah Ta'ala has given us ni'mah, salah, hajj, fasting, zakat, charity. All of these things are ways and practices to please Allah. There's tilawat of Quran, there's recitation of Quran, there are all the other faraid acts that we do, and many other actions that Allah Ta'ala has given, and amal. And in the same way today as well, inshallah, to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, let's do something so Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. And there's a very, mashallah, ajeeb and unique amal and deed, ibadah, because any deed that attains Allah's nearness is equals to worship. Yeah? So if I say that this wall, if I look at the wall, and Allah Ta'ala says, if Allah says, look at this wall, and then you will start to love me and you will attain my nearness, then obviously we will all look at this wall with this niyyah, because it's ibadah, worship. Or like the Kaaba. Now what is the Kaaba? Kaaba is a stone structure. It's a structure, isn't it? And inside it's hollow, and there's a roof of stone or bricks. And it has, you know, Allah Ta'ala says that this is my sign, and it's been made by humans, constructed by humans. But Allah Ta'ala says, don't think it's stone or rock. Whoever looks towards the Kaaba, he will become my beloved. Isn't it? So not one man, millions, millions, billions in a year, look, count how many people go to the Kaaba. So it's Allah's choice. Whatever He creates as the means to get near to Him becomes ibadah, worship, or doesn't it? So one great Shaykh, Rahmatullah Alayh, he stated that once, in the masjid in Damishq, Damascus, he said, I came, and at that time, as I say, that keep focus and attention when I say something. Don't focus left and right and other things, because this also is against the adab, the manners of tasawwuf. the manners and behavior and manners and conduct for tasawwuf are unique and different. So when the shaykh or when your guide or teacher is speaking, then your focus and attention shouldn't be somewhere else. Like you've got tasbih, you're counting the beads, or you're in maraqbah, you've closed your eyes. And some of the teachers, you know, if somebody closed their eyes and put their head down, he'd get a scolding, a telling off, a ticking off, that you've come here to do maraqbah, your own dhikr, or have you come here to listen to what I'm saying? And with this, the person who speaks, then it alters his focus and his emotion, the fears that's coming from Allah, then it gets dampened. So we need to have a focus. Don't do maraqbah, close eyes and your head bent or your back bent. No, have adab and manners and behavior. Every majlis, every gathering has its own adab. So when you come to the gathering of the wali or of a teacher or Allah wala, then have focus. You shouldn't have your eyes closed. You shouldn't be snoring. You shouldn't be sleeping. If you feel like this, then stand up. Depart from the gathering rather than bowing or falling asleep or your eyes shutting. It's not good. And because the kafiyat, the emotion for explaining, and I'm telling you the adab, then totally it changes and alters. Okay, some people who want to come, they're tired due to their daily life or situation. And then if you feel like that, then stand up and exit. Because as I said, this is from the pious predecessors and our elders, and I have good experience that sometimes something good is coming and suddenly the person who's speaking looks at someone who's doing something else, then totally it alters his focus and concentration. Someone's playing with his beard or playing with his clothes or moving around. This is all against the adab. I've seen in the gathering of the elders, they would say, please, can you leave the gathering? You haven't come to listen. You're not in the mood, so please leave the gathering. I've seen this in the majalis. And so may Allah Ta'ala not allow this to happen or for this conclusion to occur. If you don't feel like sitting, then don't come. But don't put off other people. Don't give loss to other people. And the discussion, the point is stopped now. Isn't it? So this is also a very important point in the majlis, how to sit down in the majlis of Allah wala, of a friend of Allah. And inshallah the hadith, this point will come, that how a person should be focused and concentrating and totally thinking about what's the objective. Your mind somewhere else, your body somewhere else. When we used to sit, alhamdulillah, we used to sit down with the paper and the pencil and write the points. Even today of the kitab, the book, alhamdulillah. So how can I hear that again? Once it comes, it doesn't come again. It doesn't get repeated again. Note this down. That point and that emotion and that style will not come again. So this is a loss. And a person loses the mercy of Allah in this way. A lot. So sit down with total attention, concentration. Rather, before coming to the gathering, shake yourself down. Remove the dunya and the problems and the issues. There are issues. There are problems. People have got worries and pastimes. Totally dust yourself down. Distant yourself from the dunya issues, have focus and concentration, then come and sit down at this gathering. Say, oh, I'm going to go to my husband's gathering, I'm going to listen to his words and to do dhikr. Dhikr is different and listening is different. Both are unique and different. So anyway, we were speaking about the hadith. So Hazrat Abu Idris rahmatullah alayhi went to a masjid, and this was a masjid in Dimashq, in Damascus. And when Hazrat Rahmatullah went into the masjid, he saw a gathering of people like we see in masjids. People are sitting down, and in between them was one individual. And it was such a personality that he could see the teeth glowing. That person's teeth were glowing. So whether he said this in terms of beauty or nur, we don't have the reason for this. We don't know. But Hazrat Abu Idris rahmatullah said that I saw the personality sitting in the gathering, and his teeth were sparkling. He said, I went closer and closer, and I saw that people were questioning that individual, that personality. And in the same way, in the way they were questioning, they were talking, discussing amongst themselves. And then when they couldn't understand something, they would turn their attention to that individual, that personality. Then when he would explain and make a decision, they would all be agreed and satisfied on his decision. So when I saw this, said Hazrat Abu Idris, when I saw this scene, this situation, I asked, who is this personality? Who is this person that you're happy with his answers? What's his introduction? And they said that he is the Sahabi of Rasulullah, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Great Sahabi. And we know about his status and his standard and his rank. And he was the ashik of Rasulullah and a sahabi and a companion. And such a companion that Allah's Nabi stood and said, I love you, O Mu'adh. And he radiallahu said, I love you also, Rasulullah. He was such a sahabi. This was the status of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. The love he had and the connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. So look at the people who've passed, alhamdulillah, great personalities, great generations that have passed this ummah. And today's generation, let's have a look. What is it? And what is the love we have in the ummah? So, when he said, I saw this, when I heard this answer from the people, I said, huh, he's a sahabi. So I made a niyyah intention that I will come here at Fajr time. He said, I'll try that I can come here first into the masjid and upon the Fajr salah. So he went, he departed. He said, so I was coming early to Fajr, to the masjid, to enter into the masjid early. And when I came inside, I saw that he was there before me, standing praying salah. When I saw him praying salah, then I sat behind him with adab, with manners, good behavior, conduct. And I was waiting, what for? That Hazrat will finish his salah and then I will request something from him, from Hazrat. I will put forward a question as well, a request. So what am I telling you here? What is it? What are we talking about here today? What's our initiation? Do you remember what I spoke about? What's the subject? Do you remember? Ji? What is it? The subject of today is that there are many deeds through which we can please Allah, isn't it? So now, I am telling you of one amal, that which we will learn from this event, and we should try it, that we also bring this action into our life, and we practice it as well. So have I repeated now the objective of today? Remember I said that in the beginning, isn't it? Right. So now, we are learning this amal through a sahabi. So what did this individual do? He waited, and when Hazrat stopped his salah and finished his wazifa, then he said with manners, I went in front of him and said, Assalamu alaikum. And he stayed quiet. Then I said, Hazrat, I want to ask you something. Put forward a request. And he turned his attention to me and said, yes, please tell me, what do you want to say? And he said that, I swear by Allah that I, for the sake of Allah, I love you. And he said within a second he was in love. Because when he saw the sahabi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I love you for this. And he said, is it? You've never seen me, you don't know me from before. How can this be? Or he said, is it? Is it really? And he said, for I swear by Allah that I love you. For the sake of Allah, I love you. And he was surprised. He said, is it really the situation, what you're saying? Do you really mean it? And he said this again. And he said again, I swear by Allah that Hazrat Mu'adh, that for the sake of Allah, I love you. And he said, when I said it the third time, then suddenly he went into passion and he grabbed my sheet. He said, who are you? And he dragged it, pulled it. He said, if you really are honest in what you are saying, then listen. My Mahbub, my Master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what about this? Then listen clearly, I'll give you the good news. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah Ta'ala has stated himself that a person A, who due to Allah loves person B, and for the sake of Allah loves that person due to Allah's love, and he meets that person for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of Allah person A has friendship with person B and a connection with person B, and for the sake of Allah he spends on person B, then Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala says, then my love on that person A becomes wajib and compulsory. And this is sahih hadith, authentic hadith. This is such a great hadith. For what? To attain Allah Ta'ala's love. What amal Allah Ta'ala has given to us? What deeds Allah Ta'ala has given to us? Allah has kept some love naturally. When a person's born, then he has a link with those around him. One is those who are the family relations, blood relations. Soon as a person's born, a person has the link, connection. There are two connections. One is the mother, one is the father. When a person's born, isn't it? And after that, then the connections increase. Then you have the sister and the brother. Then the connections, they expand, don't they? And so this is the first level of a human being. First he has the mother and the father. Then he has the brother and the sister. Relationships. Then you have uncles, aunties, cha-cha, cha-chi, mama, mummy, grandfather, grandmother. So the society expands around the person and it's linked. This is the blood relations. Family relations, family connections, isn't it? Right? After that, we have the second connection. So the first connection is blood relations. And the second connection is external to the blood relations. And what is that connection? The second connection? This is my business partner. This is a link, isn't it? Oh, we play together. Oh, we're friends. Oh, we run our business together. Oh, he's my colleague. Associate, these are external connection. So in between there's a reason, either it's business or it's some other reason, or it's a shop, or we play badminton together, or we travel together, or we are common in our habits, we sit and talk together and have tea together. But this is different to the blood relations. The first connection was the blood relationship, wasn't it? The relatives. So this is also another link that Allah Ta'ala has kept as a connection in the world, and this also creates love. But there's no guarantee on this. And then there's a third link, a third connection. Connection one, relatives. Connection two, associate, colleague. And the third connection is who? Is just for the sake of Allah. And it's Allah Himself. And look at this here now. So why do you love this person? Allah, I love for your sake this person. Why do you go to this person? Allah, because I love you and it's for your sake I go to this person. Why do you go to this person? It's for the sake of Allah I go to this person, because I have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this love between the two people? Those two human beings, why do they love each other? There's no business, there's no blood relationship. There's no relationship from the pastime employment. There's no link. He doesn't know him, he doesn't know him. And this is the reference of the hadith. One man, Hazrat Abu Idris, rahmatullah alayh, he's traveling and he's coming and suddenly he gets to the masjid. And he has no link, he doesn't know anybody in that masjid. Nor does he know that individual. But soon as he sees the Sahabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then suddenly, what love did he have? More than the mother and the father. The love for Hazrat Muadh radiallahu anhu went surpassed his parents, all his blood relations, and his associates, society, colleagues. His love surpassed them. Wahid, one thing was left. And he loved Hazrat Muadh for what reason? For the sake of Allah. What a great humble, what a great deed. What a great deed. And that same heart Allah Ta'ala has given to us. The heart is in our bodies as well. We have a heart, you have a heart, I have a heart. But why don't we have so much love for Allah that for the sake of Allah we love other people around us? Why don't we do this? Subhanallah. That what a big act of worship to love a human being for the sake of Allah. And Allah gives good news, glad tidings to those people who love others for the sake of Allah. Allah says, my love is wajib on those people who love others for the sake of Allah. And there's another hadith there. What a great, great action to love somebody else for the sake of Allah. Because Allah says, my love then becomes compulsory. This hadith, I think, is in Sahih Muslim. It's a Sahih hadith that on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will call out. Allah will call out. And imagine this, the whole of the day of judgment, the people standing there, the whole of creation, Allah will say, where are those people? Subhanallah, Allah will call out, where are those people who due to me, due to my love, and due to my azmat and my greatness, that they used to love each other for my sake? Allah will say, where are those people who lived on the earth and loved each other for the sake of Allah? In the hadith states, what will happen at that time? That those people, what will be their consequence? Allah will say, where are those people? Today, I want to seat them in that place. I want to give them the shade of that place where they could never have attained that shade. I want to put them under the shade of the Arsh, the throne. Amazing deed. In other words, on the day of the day of judgment, and all of the creation will be standing. And Allah will announce that I also loved somebody. I also had an attachment with somebody. And we, let's think for a moment that to love somebody, Allah will announce that I also love somebody. Let me show you now who are my beloved people. And from the whole of creation, from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam to the last person who ever lived on the day of judgment, everyone will be stood there. And Allah will make it apparent on that day that these people were beloved to me because they loved each other for my sake. And may it happen that me and you are included in that group. Ameen. Everyone, Allah will say, these were my beloved people. Sahih Muslim and Tirmidhi hadith. And there's another hadith that comes on this subject. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will Allah ta'ala say or do to these people? That underneath the arsh, now let's understand the arsh of Allah, Allah's throne. Allah's throne. That Allah ta'ala says, beneath my arsh will be chairs. Imagine those chairs. Imagine their light. Imagine their status. And those people will be seated on those chairs. And then Allah will give them the shade of the throne. And then a noor, a light will be descending on them. And it will be such a noor that will be around them, that the whole of mankind that day on the Day of Judgment, it will glow amongst them, around them. And every man who sat on those seats will have that noor on their face. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that, how did you used to decorate the people you loved in the world? How did you respect them? Did you not want that they come prepared and they're attractive and they look nice wearing these clothes and these jewels, isn't it? Okay, let's say for example, wife, you should wear this today, wear red color clothes, you should look like this and should wear this, because the husband and the wife, they have the partnership and they have the love for each other. So the same way Allah Ta'ala says that me, I used to love my creation, they used to love each other for my sake. So Allah Ta'ala says, here's the reward for them, I'm giving them that reward. What a great action. What a great action. Allah Ta'ala says, for the sake of Allah, to love somebody. And if you get this love, if you attain this love, then it becomes the greatest love and it's the best love. And then you don't feel like any other connection beyond this. And then you say, this is the connection. This is the love. And there was a kalma that I was reciting, was Punjabi. There was a great nazam that I recited, a Sufi sha'ir poet, many years ago, Hazrat Sultan Bahu Rahmatullah Ali, in Punjab, in Pakistan. And he was Fanaful Ismizat. He was a lover of the name of Allah. And even today, if you go to his mazar, which is in the jungle, in the wilderness, his grave, there are trees. And you know, on the tree, there's an animal. You know, like you have here in the morning, you have the, in certain, I think in the, they you know, like owls that hoot, isn't it? So there are those animals on those trees. And there's a jungle, dense jungle there. And you hear they're hooting, Allahu, 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 those animals say. So their names are, his name is Sultan Bahu, because he would state the name of Allah and do the dhikr of Allah. And he was Arif Billah, close to Allah. And there's a kitab that he has written, which has included ish'ar and got the poems and the couplets on the name of Allah. The few of those verses I read to you, and you probably didn't understand, it was in Punjabi, probably Urdu you would have understood. And within those verses he says that, do you know that if I once see the blessed face of my Shaykh, for me it's like, it is even thousands, millions of Hajj and Umrah cannot compare to that one vision of my Shaykh. Why? Because the tajalliyat and Allah Ta'ala's sign, I see when I see my Shaykh. Because he is the representative of Allah on the earth. So for the sake of Allah, when you have love for somebody for the sake of Allah, then you'll get close to Allah. Think about it, my friends. We think, will my shop run? Will my business run? Where's my wife, my children? We're running around in the world and we're running after somebody. We're leaving all those thoughts, and this is called love for Allah. This is the asal, genuine love for Allah. And for this Allah, love, Allah Ta'ala is speaking, that in the world when you discard everything and you love my wali, for my sake, Allah says, then see how Allah will love you as well and repay you that reward. Allah says, if you meet my wali for my sake, and you sit with him for my sake, and you have the connection for my sake, and you spend for my sake, and everything you do for my sake, Allah Ta'ala says, you're doing it for my sake, because you have my love in between, then Allah Ta'ala says, see the maqam I will give you in the hereafter. Because this is amal, this is practice, and if a person practices this love, so when you cannot love, you attain love. You cannot do, you don't just give, you have to attain it. Those who want Allah Ta'ala's nearness, you have to attain that love and that nearness. If we think that I want to attain Allah's nearness, Allah's love, then Allah will introduce you and us, me, to such an individual that you become fanaful and you love and you're immersed in the love of that person. For example, I told you this hadith, the 2-3 points that come out from this, beautiful points. One is that we've been taught that when you meet a pious elder, then you should have adab, manners. For example, he's praying salah. Then how did he meet Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal? While Hazrat Mu'adh was praying, doing his wazifa, he didn't come in front of him, to his side, let him see me, I want to speak to him. Oh, I'm in a rush, I want him to see me so I can speak to him quickly. Rather, he sat behind Hazrat and he waited in silence. When he was free, then with adab he came forward and did salam and presented himself. So this is a big point, tariqah of adab. I remember a word here, Hazrat Hakim ul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi. And this is something you can say maybe is a little bit funny, but also something serious. Because Hazrat Hakim, he was a Hakim, he used to note things, and he commentated on things like this that taught us adab, manners, how to meet somebody. So he stated that once I was sat in my masjid, I prayed till after that, I was doing my wazifa. Some of the elders, pious elders, they start doing their wazifa, remembrance of Allah, dhikr. He said people would come to meet me, and they have their own question, their issue, someone wants a dua. And he said an individual, a sahib, he came, and sometimes he was behind me, in front of me, to my side, and I was disturbed, I was put off. And Hazrat said this, They're sometimes sitting here and forward and back, and I looked towards him and I didn't give him any attention. Then he came and sat here, then I still didn't give him any attention. Then he went in front of me, he walked around me, I still didn't give him any attention. I kept on reading, reciting, doing my wazifa, to this extent that he sat behind me. Even then I didn't focus on him. Then from behind he said, Dua. Subhanallah. He said, when he said Dua, then I said, wazifa, lesson, zikr. He said, I wrote this. Then he said, I didn't stand up, I didn't turn. After that, when I stood up, then I went to him. I said, tell me now, what is the issue? He said, can you do dua for me, please? He said, I was doing wazifa, my dhikr. He said, but I was in a rush. He said, okay, listen. Now, are you in a rush? Now, I will sit behind you. Okay? And I will say to you to do dua. How will you like it? He said, this is not good. So he said, was this good? You sat behind me. I'm doing dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, and I'm busy in that, and you disturb me. He said, this is against adab, against the adab and the manners. So these are all the points that we need to learn. Adab, manners, behavior. This is from hadith. This is from the sit behind and then wait. Wait. And another point that's extracted from this event, from Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, that direct, that he didn't worry about anyone in between. He knew that this is the amal and this is ibadah, worship that I'm doing. He had yaqeen. Certainly there was no show, no pride, no showing off. Direct, he said to Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that I love you for the sake of Allah. So this masla has explained it, that when you love somebody for the sake of Allah, then tell that person that for the sake of Allah, I love you and I have a connection with you and I am connected to you. And Allah's barakah will come into that. Allah's barakah will come. Some things you have to hide, but don't hide this. Rather make it apparent. Apparent. And Allah knows best what is the hikmah as kept in this, that maybe the love will increase and maybe Allah's khas, rahmah and mercy will come. But some people hide their love and their attraction, but don't hide this. Allah, tell the person that you hold beloved that I have the love for you and for the sake of Allah, I love this person. So this is also a masala that we learn from this hadith and make it apparent and clear. So this amal, my friends, may Allah give us the tawfiq, the capability and ability that for the sake of Allah we can love somebody in the world. There should be no other reason for that connection apart from Allah's love. And muhabbat love, as I explained to you, muhabbat love is that we, all other worldly things, you surpass the worldly criteria and you distance yourself from all the worldly reasons for loving the person that's standing, sitting, walking, traveling, whatever. You keep thinking about the beloved person. Yes, and that's why some people have stated that fanaful shaykh, after you become fanaful shaykh, then when you love the shaykh, then it's fanaful rasul. So first level is love for the shaykh, then it's fanaful rasulullah, then love for rasulullah, then fanaful Allah, then comes the love of Allah. This is not some made up fact, this is the silsala, this is the way of the deen that's presented to us, how to reach Allah ta'ala. And rather another hadith that I remember in this regard, has Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, great lover of rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, great companion radiallahu anhu, and a lover of the sunnah of rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He stated radiallahu anhu, that if I do ibadah all night long, if I worship all night long, if I fast all day long, whatever I do, worship, and I give in sadqah, money I've got, if I give in charity, if I fast all day long, worship all night long, and if I don't have love for anyone else, then these deeds are of no use to me. Imagine what he said. This is the companion saying this. That if I worship, but if I don't love somebody for the sake of Allah, then my amal will not be of use to me. This is how important he laid down this fact, that loving somebody for the sake of Allah, it overwhelms those actions and amal that we do. So this is a tariqah, a method, a way to get close to Allah. And this is such a method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce on the Day of Judgment and in the world, that my love is wajib, compulsory on this person, because he loves others for my sake. And this is easy and hard. When you have true love, and it's difficult to have true love, sincere love, because we are living in the day and age of dunya, and there's tests for all connections and love and association. There's a test. Sometimes it will happen that sometimes you will never feel something about your beloved bad. Even if he slaps you or says something bad to you, you'll say, no, that's not enough. Even if you scold me, no problem. If he's embracing you, you'll say, embrace me harder. Break my ribs maybe, but I've not enjoyed that embrace. I need it harder. So you say that my heart is not even filled with the happiness. I've seen you and you're going so quickly and soon. What's happening here? So this is the scale of love. Where there is love, I'll give you the example of the dunya. Yeah. The mother, she will smell the nappy that has the child excreted yet stool. Can you ever smell someone's excrement? But the mother smells the nappy, touches it with a hand. Nobody else will do that in the world, innit? It's dirty. But she has such love for the child that she will smell the excrement of the child. Has the child urinated or given the stool excrement, or she touches the nappy? But this is the mother's love. Little children, and those people who have little children, for example, this is what happens. That, for example, where the woman puts her hand and the people say, we're not going to eat this, maybe she hasn't washed her hands. This is just people have this feeling. But she doesn't know that she will cook the food and she'll present it to you. Yeah, subhanAllah. But this is due to her love, because she has love for the child. And she is forced to do this. She doesn't know that, oh, I forgot to wash my hands. Oh, and you've eaten the food. The chapati I made with the same hands, I didn't wash them. Anyway, these things happen. So this is love in the dunya. So this is an example in front of you. So when Allah loves His servant, then imagine the love Allah will give to His servant. That it doesn't take long. If the mother has so much love for the child, can we imagine the love of the Creator? The Subhanallah, will the creation, the servant of Allah, the human being, will he have criticism for his Lord? Will he delay in going to the majlis of dhikr? Will he delay in practicing good, practicing the deen? If Allah is calling that servant, will he delay in going to the call of Allah? Or if he has to make effort for the sake of Allah, his Lord, will he waste time and delay and think about it? No. No. So I'm speaking about that love about which it will be announced on the Day of Judgment. That where are those people who loved others for the sake of Allah? So that love goes over and beyond everything else. And Allah Ta'ala then tests those connections and relationships. That how much did this person really love me for my sake? Because obviously, it's Allah's love that we want to get. So if we fail in that test, then what love will be attained from Allah? Allah will say, today I tested him and he left that person. And tomorrow, if he's dunya, he'll run after that person. He'll leave everything and run after that person for material gain. So the example is in front of us, like the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum. There was a companion radiallahu anhum, because their example is the best and the greatest, because they always love for the sake of Allah. They love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of Allah. So what happened? Oh, don't know after how long he came from a journey, was tired, exhausted, and he came home. And his wife's happy, my husband's come home, Sahabi, I can't remember his name. And food was made, the dish, it was evening time, it was night time. She presented the food, husband came home, and he didn't put his hand on the food. He said, I'm just coming. He said, what? I'm just about to come. She said, where are you going? He said, I'm just coming. She said, after so many years you've come, where now? He said, I'm just coming, give me 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Ah, he ran quickly, direct, alhamdulillah, to the court of Rasulullah ﷺ, and he presented himself. He saw the blessed face of Rasulullah ﷺ, did ziyara. He started crying. He kept on looking at Rasulullah ﷺ, and he cried quite a long time. She said, where did you go? You just said, I'm coming. He said, until I don't see my Prophet ﷺ, my beloved, I could not attain happiness. Ah, another companion's crying, radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, crying. Why are you crying? He said, I'm crying for this reason, that here I keep on looking at you. When I feel like I can run and come and see you. But it doesn't take a second for me. A second doesn't pass that I cannot see your blessed face. Not a second. I have to leave everything. I'll come and I see you. I do your ziyarah. I see your face directly and I feel satisfaction. It's obvious if you love somebody, I want to sit next to him. So I want to get peace and satisfaction and my distress and worries will go. And a beautiful feeling will overcome me. Alhamdulillah. This is the sign of love, isn't it? And the person will run to his beloved, sit down, he'll seek excuses to go and sit with his beloved. And with some excuse, he will try to keep the connection and the company with that person. Do you have any love with anyone today like this? This is the love. I had this love and connection, alhamdulillah. I had this love and connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His fadl and karam, His grace and mercy, made me pass every test on that path. Every test I passed with the fadl of Allah. This is Allah Ta'ala's fadl. What can a person do? I saw hunger and poverty. I saw that time, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, that Hajj and Umrah, those times, until today, I didn't know what was a hotel, what was food, tea, where to sleep, where to stay awake. There was just one concern, one grief, that the morning time comes quickly and I go to the gathering of my Hazrat and I go to his door and I grab his hand and I take him with my hands to the Kaaba and I put his slippers next to my chest and I sit down behind him. Subhanallah. And everybody knew this. Everyone used to step back. That we cannot compare. That this was the test and everyone stepped back. But this is what I tried to achieve. What was this? This was love. This was the connection. Yes, and there was tests and there were challenges, but alhamdulillah with Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, that otherwise where can a person succeed in these things? Where can a person succeed? We can't. And then my last meeting with Hazrat Subhanallah. And just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met with Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Rasulullah said, "I love you," and he said, "I love you." Rasulullah, in the final meeting with my Shaykh, was at the Kaaba, and after that Hazrat passed away. And he grabbed my hand and he said that you all your life served me and I've done nothing for you. And he started to cry and I was crying, and it was extreme heat in the afternoon, and I was next to him, to Hazrat Sahib, and next to the Kaaba in the Mataf where people pray. And I raised my hands and he said, "Go, whatever you got, all the four silsilas, what I've got now, the knowledge I give to you." Hazrat said this. So this is a point we need to understand. A person has to kill his nafs, my friends. To attain Allah is not easy. Now if you think you're going to attain Allah through salah, then pray salah. It's not the salah we pray that we're going to attain Allah's knees. Don't take what I'm saying badly. That we all pray salah. Okay, at least take some practice, some regular habit. Okay, I want to get Allah's knees from Quran. Then at least read the Quran properly. Then Allah will come close to you. Don't play games. Every path Allah's given, we can reach to Allah's knees. But until today, we're playing games with ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're not sincere on a path. We're not 100% on a path to get close to Allah. We play games and we start and stop. No, I pray salah, I'm close to Allah. Okay, you're right. When did I say that you don't pray salah? Or Allah's nearness is not attained. But at least pray that salah that gives Allah's nearness properly. Allah says, "Oh, if you don't pray salah properly in your life, but at least pray one salah in your life properly that I will get close to you." Allah Ta'ala says that on this deed I've given you such a chance, that please pray one salah. Rather, Allah Ta'ala said, at least one sajda do in your life within that salah, which is correct, that I can accept and you come close to me, that you prostrated for me. And Allah said that one prostration I will come to you, become close to you. Hajj. Let's take Hajj. What great action is there than Hajj? To you do tawaf, zamzam, sa'i, safa, marwa, mataf, tawaf around the Kaaba, maqamat. Places, go to Multazam, wherever you want to go, speak to Allah. And the walis of Allah and the events and the stories, how they spoke to Allah in tawaf, in the mataf around the Kaaba. These words, this is not a history recorded. They're speaking to Allah, falling unconscious, feeling Allah Ta'ala's nearness. So many numerous events. So at least one of us should do one Hajj Umrah like this. Then do at least one Hajj like this emotionally. So this is also love for Allah. And if we want to attain Allah's love, then at least love somebody who you love him for the sake of Allah. And then show and demonstrate that love in your life. So everything, whatever we do, the action, the amal, should take us to Allah Ta'ala's nearness. It's a test. And what is that test? What is that test? Tell me. One thing, just one thing. To crush the desires. To break the nafs and the desires. To suppress them. And if we don't suppress our desires, we cannot get close to Allah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَا زَكَّهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَا دَسَّهَ. Alhamdulillah, we pray namaz, salah, we construct masjids, go to the masjid. But there's one thing, don't take what I'm saying badly. Everything we do, alhamdulillah, is good, and Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is there, Allah will forgive, and inshallah will be fortunate. But the point to attain Allah's name is where Allah Ta'ala will announce on the Day of Judgment, that Allah will be proud on the Day of Judgment that my beloved has come. Look, people of the world, today my beloved is sat on this seat beneath the shade of my throne because they loved each other for the sake of Allah. Don't waste this life. Aren't we wasting our lives? Tell me. Did we come here to eat, to drink, or to do just ibadat, namaz? Alhamdulillah, shukr, he's given us salah and prayer and other things. But we should look, we want to be progressive in our life, isn't it? Promote ourselves, advance. We always want to progress and advance and promote. Today's sale needs to be more than yesterday's. Today's profit more. Tomorrow's car's got to be better than today's. And today the mal, it should be more than the wealth I had yesterday. And today children, I should have more children than I had yesterday. And tomorrow I should have more. We want progression, advancement. And this is in our fitrah, nature, because Allah's karam is in this. Why? Because which thing, what are we doing things for? For the sake of Allah's nearness. So the walis of Allah, they took their actions towards Allah Ta'ala's love. Every second we want that Allah Ta'ala's love in our hearts increases. And our lives increases. Every breath Allah Ta'ala's love increases in my life. Like I say, every day, every second, I want my till go ding, £10, £5, customer, £20, ding. I want every second. If the customer doesn't come, oh, I didn't enjoy myself at the shop today. The customer's going, I just want to keep the fingers going ping on the till, and the money's falling in, and the customers are there, 20 in a line, and this business and this thing selling, clothes are selling, and every businessman's happy, he's got a smile on his face. This customer's three tills are running, and the owner of the shop, ah, he's happy. Customers are coming, oh, make tea for the customers, I'm happy today, I'm happy. Why? Because every second, the till's opening, money's going in the till, and he's promoting, progressing, advancing with his wealth. So Allah's wealth wali. He's always happy every second after every second. When he gets advancement, close to Allah, every second, the wali wala, he smiles, his teeth glow, and beautiful words come out of his mouth. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, I'm getting closer to Allah. This is the gathering of tasawwuf. That's why I'm giving examples like this. So, we come to dhikr, and people like us shouldn't just think, oh, namaz is enough for me. I've done my namaz today. I've just done enough, isn't it? Why do I have to do more than that? I've prayed. Why are you telling me more? I'm tired. This is not about being tired. Are you tired of life? This is such a journey. You know when a person's in a journey, and for example, he works so much in the day to earn money, and he doesn't care. His back is breaking, body, tired, 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 tired. Why does a person sweat? Because he knows when he goes home, there'll be a mattress, quilt, tea, food, and I'll go and, nicely, I'll rest on. This is the concept of the world. Everyone tires through the day in working, because in the evening we're looking forward to the relaxation. Do you understand what I'm saying? When a man, for the sake of money, to make money and wealth and dunya, he works, there's a concept behind that. As soon as I finish work, I'll go home, warmth, I'll have a bath, a nice hot shower. Everyone does this, isn't it? After having a hot shower, I'll sit down in my living room, have food and curry, have a bottle, hot water bottle, rest in my bed till the morning. I've worked hard today. I'm going to sleep for a few hours now. I'm going to relax, isn't it? So the wali wala has the same concept. Every one of us, a Muslim, work hard as much as you can in this world. Get tired, exhausted, so that we can relax in the grave. Understand what I'm saying? That's what we're waiting for, the nice warm period in the grave. So I understand now the cushions of comfort. Really today I've understood it. I'll be honest to you that the grave is the place of comfort. They're tired of the dunya. They work so hard, hungry, thirsty, poverty, no clothes, nafs crushing the desires, ibadah. Why? Every second, Allah, we want to be promoted to your nearness. And every second in the world, they're fighting their desires. They're clashing with the nafs and they're suppressing the desires. And the person who fights with his desires, this is the biggest tussle, the biggest clash. That they doesn't come out with any sweat. He doesn't have to give any bodily actions away or energy. He's fighting against his desires. The Allah, I want to try my best to suppress my desires. He says, I'm not going to sleep. Let me get up and pray, recite Quran, do talawat and pray nawafil and do the dhikr of Allah. And today I should fast and I do this action X, Y, Z. What is this? Every second you are crushing the desires. Because nafs says, relax. And the Muslim says, work hard, work hard. And the nafs says, sleep, relax in the quilt. And the person says, no, I'm going to get up. The person says, sleep. He says, no, put the spices in the eyes, so I have to get up. Some walis wala did this. So this is the clash and the tussle with the nafs. And this, a person, obviously his body will get tired. He'll be tired and exhausted. But keep one concept in your head. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to go to my grave. I'll be relaxed. Time there, I'll have a beautiful decorated grave. And I'll sleep beautifully there. And as much as you can here to relax in the grave. But if you relax too much here, then tell me, what are they going to get in the grave? What am I going to get in the grave? Huh? Then will I get a bed in the grave? If I keep sleeping in the shop, and when I go home, the wife says, how much did you earn? Oh no, I slept in the shop, my wife. She'll say, well, go back to the shop now. You didn't bring nothing home. Go, there's no roti, no food today. Where shall I go? Go back to that shop where you were sleeping. Isn't it? Your wife will say that, isn't it? If you sleep in the shop, you're not earning. So Allah says that you slept in the world, and now you want to sleep in the grave. Now you will be woken in the grave. So then for permanent, the person will be woken, and the punishments will be there. And you will never feel sleepy in the grave, because you didn't do the work in the world. Understand this, brothers? What a great hadith. Grace, so easy is our deen of Islam. Love someone, people in the world, for the sake of Allah. Crush your desires. Make an association with the wali of Allah. Make this first. Whoever you love, put his steps first. That's the principle. And the biggest nafs crushes, when you love somebody for the sake of Allah, then you have to fulfill that person's desire. That to fulfill the desire of the beloved, you'll do anything, isn't it? Have you loved anybody in the world? Have you? If you have, you probably have. Then if eventually he says go and buy a takeaway from Bill, run and get the takeaway. Burger, 2 a.m. Where's the takeaway? I've got to buy this takeaway for this person who's asked me. Isn't it? We do this, don't we? Nowadays, these boys and girls do this, isn't it? So what is the situation here? Is that the beloved always we're looking to fulfill and accept the desire and the request. If all night, let's sit down and do ibadah. That's it. And the mehboob, you have to make the mehboob pleased. Crush their desires. Oh, let's go and do dhikr here. Oh, it's not fard. You don't have to do dhikr. Then you don't look at fard and wajib and mustahab and sunnah. No. This is nafal wajib. I don't have to do this. This is not necessary. This is sunnah. That scale is finished then. Differentiation finished. There's no scale or differentiation in the love scale. In the love scale, it's
Command, do it. Request, do it. My Hazrat, rahmatullahi, I'll give an example. It was Ramadan time, and we had gone on a journey, and there was nothing to eat, and it was a severe heat, hot. There was no rooms to stay in, nothing, and everyone was hot and exhausted, and extreme heat I'm talking about. And we sat down in the haram, Hazrat sitting with the Sheikh. You know that how to sit with the Sheikh, 10 hours sit down. There, I'm telling you, this is how the nafs is crushed. The insan, he's made a proper human being. Proper human, because Allah Ta'ala is watching from above, that you have got patience in the heart, you feel, and Allah is saying that you're sitting next to my wali with disrespect, bear the bee, there's no point of sitting. So sit in the right way. And then the legs, they will be stuck to the ground, not 1 hour, from morning till evening, morning to the night. Then, this way we're sitting there, nothing to eat, the fast, the iftar times come, there was zamzam to drink, just a few dates. That's it, and we're sitting there. And the night fell, 3 a.m. and Hazrat sitting, and we're sitting, look at the nafs, and everyone's sitting in the back, starting to get a bit tired, and I'm sitting in the back. Then, this was the night, I'm just showing you a little bit of a picture of how to make them habub. So this was the night of the moon. We were to see the moon, the new moon, the 29th night. We're all sitting, waiting when the moon, the new moon, so we can go, and the Ramadan will finish, and inshallah in the morning, that we'll have something to eat, and Hazrat will get up as well. So what's happening now? That we can see the moon. The new moon hadn't come. We're sitting, everyone's looking, looking, we can see it, we can see it, we can see it. And the sun was invisible, and Tarawees. And then after Tarawees, we sat down, we're sitting. I'm telling you verbally what happened. And the night is passing, and then Hazrat, they're not going to sleep. He was doing maraqabah, and we're doing maraqabah dhikr. And the hours are passing. Fajr came, tahajjud came, fajr time came. After fajr, subhanallah. Then everyone's tired. 2 nights, nothing to eat, and fasting. Today's the fast as well. Fast today as well. Okay. But what about Hazrat? He's sitting down. What about his condition then? Hazrat said, okay, maybe after Ishraq, Hazrat will rest. So after Ishraq, we'll rest. So Ishraq time, sunrise, Hazrat sitting down. Chash time, mid-morning. I thought Zohr is about to come. Then see what happens. Subhanallah, what a sheikh. Great. And Allah says, let's see who is the beloved. Then he turned around and he said, I said, hukum Hazrat, hukum, order. Hazrat said, Farooqi sahab, Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy on us. Subhanallah. Imagine, energy. That Allah Ta'ala has given us one more fast. I said, yes Hazrat. And our minds, we were not even thinking this state. What he's going to say, that Allah is merciful, he's given us another. Let's do this, Farooq sahab, let's do another umrah. We don't know if we're going to be alive after today. Oh, imagine, think that you're listening to me, then you would have realized that day if you're there. What is the effort? Umrah, I look behind me, that I saw, I'm calling out, brothers, umrah. Hazrat said, umrah. Everyone stood suddenly. Hazrat's aram, rest, what was his rest? The blanket, he would have a blanket white, and subhanAllah, he had a dhoti white underneath it, and he just took off his kameez, and his ihram's made. Nothing going, taking from him. He took his kameez off, he had the blanket white, he had his ihram on, dhoti, and the whole umrah was done. We went to Masjid Aisha, we did umrah, tawaf in the afternoon, we came back to the haram to this extent, that it was the evening, until iftari time, we're staying in the haram. In the haram. This is the company of the Shaykh, my friends. Do you understand? Why? And definitely, I'm telling you, honestly, such enjoyment until today, I cannot replicate what Hazrat said. After that, we didn't have a umrah with Hazrat. That was the final umrah with Hazrat. Allah gave us a chance. Farooqi sahab, Allah has given us a chance. Maybe life will come. Allah knows best. Let's do umrah together. Subhanallah. So I did khidmat, a lot of my Hazrat. Alhamdulillah. So what happened after that? If somebody asked me that, did you feel pain? Totally no pain, I tell you the honest truth. Wallahi, I felt so much enjoyment and peace, I cannot tell you. That umrah I did, the rest of my life, umrah hajj put to one side, and that one umrah put that on one side. Best. That how much when you're listening, you think there's pain and exhaustion, but the reason when you love somebody, then you don't get any pain from listening to the order of that person. If you love that person sincerely. And this is the thing we have, that the wali of Allah, for who? What link did we have with Hazrat? For the sake of Allah. Allah Ta'ala created love for him. For the sake of Allah. And on the day of judgment, we have hope that inshallah, Hazrat, I am totally useless. And may Allah Ta'ala, due to the sadqah, take us there and we sit together. Don't we hear? Will I leave you? If you call out to me, inshallah, let's hope we're together. So brothers, this is a great deed. to love each other for the sake of Allah. We are living in the material age, in the dunya, fast paced. So when we go to somebody for the sake of Allah, don't take dunya, don't do waste of time talk, futile talk. Put Allah Ta'ala in between, and you've come for the sake of Allah, listen to his speech, correct yourselves, the mistakes, the errors, distant them, detach them. Don't be unhappy about his words, his advice, his nasiha. Have qadr, appreciation. Whenever he tells you to come somewhere, go there, increase it, promote yourselves, because this dunya will stay behind. Wallah, it will stay behind. And these few moments that we will spend together, these will go with us to the hereafter. This will go with us. What a beautiful word. Imagine this. Imagine Allah. This is the hadith. Allah Ta'ala will say that my love is wajib, compulsory on those people who love each other for the sake of Allah. That for my sake, Allah says, they meet. For my sake, they discuss. For my sake, they have friendship. For my sake, they spend on each other. Yani in this path, whatever we do for each other can never go to waste. Rather, that effort becomes worship. What does it become? Worship, ibadat. If the friend of Allah, wali, says, go and buy this for me or bring this for me, and you're going there and you leave your nafal voluntary worship, you're not doing tasbih or dhikr, wallahi, you're doing the highest grade of worship. Highest. If you are protecting his shoes, look after his shoes, this is tasawwuf, Sufi. Some people give fatwa, what is this, or innovation. I'm telling you, those solutions that are the basis of tasawwuf, serving the teacher is ibadah, worship, because you are doing it for the sake of Allah, for Allah's pleasure. And it's better than nafal ibadah. It goes higher than voluntary worship. So if a person, as long as I stayed in the service of my sheikh, very few, seldom did I do nafal voluntary ibadah. I didn't at all. The biggest ibadah was to look at the beautiful blessed face of my sheikh, to look after his shoes, asking about water, taking him to do wudu and laying down his prayer mat, and to take his slippers and to take his hand and his finger, to take him home and bringing him from home to the masjid. This was my ibadah. I didn't even do tawaf. Now here I'm saying this for this reason, because people give fatwas, what's this, you didn't do nothing, you're in the Kaaba and you gave your shaykh more emphasis than the Kaaba, this is bid'ah and shirk. People say this, pass fatwas, but this is the reality. Allah's order is this, that my friend, if you love him this much for my sake, then on the day of judgment I will announce you, I will call you, I will present you. So my brothers, this is a unique line, love. May Allah give us all the tawfiq for this. And this is the color of Allah, the way to reach Allah, the way is the path, the means to get to Allah. And maybe we will fit into a certain gauge. Maybe I'm weak in salah, or maybe I'm weak in zakat. Someone gives more zakat or sadaqat or charity. Some people do more hajj, some umrahs. Allah has opened many paths and ways and methodologies that somehow attain my nearness. The same way, this is a path. And the person who gets this path, and if it suits you, and if you get the love, and if it suits you, then grab this path of attaching yourself to the wali of Allah and leave everything else. I left everything else. I said, this is the best path for me, this suits me, and I've come into this path and I ran after that ibadah. And if this fits in your life, I don't say do this definitely, leave everything else. There are many ways, but this is also a methodology. And if this fits and suits you in your life and it's compatible to you, then totally run after it, grab it, adhere to it, and say, I'm going to run with this in my deen and get close to Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.